This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, the Israeli elections lead to a deadlock. We'll have a live report from our team from the ACLJ Jerusalem, who voted in this election. Also, President Trump has increased sanctions on Iran. We'll talk about it all today on Jay Seculo Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live.
Israel's national election still too close to call as the country tallies the results from an unprecedented repeat election.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Today is where the real horse trading begins with both Netanyahu and Gantz. They're going to be holding meetings today trying to get some sort of coalition support that they're going to be able to present to Israeli President Rivlin, who next week will make a decision about who he's going to give the nod to and give an opportunity to try to form a government here in Israel.
And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
So Israelis went to the polls again in this snap election. And right now, the next day, the votes have still not been officially tabulated, though we do have unofficial results. And right now, it looks like basically a deadlock between Prime Minister Netanyahu's Likud party and Benny Gantz's Blue and White party. Now, these are both parties. I'd say Likud is more to the right, and then the Blue and White party is kind of on the right. I mean, so politically, very similar. Now, here's what's interesting. Prime Minister Netanyahu in the past has been able to usually rely on the religious parties to join his coalition. If they were to do that today, he would be at 56. So five Knesset members short of forming a government. You need 61. There's 120 Knesset seats. You need to get to 61. So if he had all those religious parties that typically have joined him in the past, join him today, he would be at 56. So what's the key? The key is some of these smaller political parties. And one is called Yisrael Beiteinu. That is a party, which means Israel, our home. Its head is Avigdor Lieberman. He was the former Israeli foreign minister. What he's got nine seats unofficially. So he could put Netanyahu over the top. But he said because the country is so divided. Now, this is, again, A lot can change as we speak, but because the country is so divided, that the only thing that he would support is a secular unity government between Netanyahu's Likud party and Benny Gantz's Blue and White parties. I guess excluding some of the religious parties to put them over the top. Then again, you'd have to have both of those parties who are tied with the highest number of seats, Netanyahu's and Gantz's, agree to some kind of unity government. Who gets to be the prime minister? Who gets to fill the roles? I mean, a lot of key questions would have to be answered there. So again, that's where things stand at this moment until the final results get tallied. But it does appear like some major deals will have to be made for Prime Minister Netanyahu to remain in that role as prime minister. Could have had a little bit better turnout for the Likud party, but there was very high turnout in Israel. We'll get a live update about that for you in the next segment of the broadcast from our team from the ACLJ Jerusalem, who voted in this election. Very high turnout leading to a tie again. Not impossible for Netanyahu or Gantz to put together a coalition. More likely Netanyahu if Lieberman was okay with joining the Netanyahu government. But right now he's saying he wants a unity government. We're going to talk about what does that mean, because that is something pretty unusual for us here in the United States. Now, we used to have that where whoever came in second place in the presidential election became vice president. So we kind of had that in the United States before that was changed through constitutional amendment. But we will talk about that and take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. What questions do you have about the Israel election? 1-800-684-3110. And folks, the next red wave is starting to get to the top three on some of the Amazon list on politics, and we'll go through a little bit of it later. The ebook, the hardback, pre-order today. The book is out Tuesday, so less than a week. The Next Red Wave. You can pre-order the book at thenextredwave.com. I encourage you, if you're an ebook reader, go for it. Hardback, go for it. Thenextredwave.com.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
To talk to us on the air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So in a matter of months, Israelis went back to the polls. And again, they have voted in even a closer, what appears to be a closer election, where the two main political parties, which are pretty aligned on ideology, not exactly, I don't want to make those broad statements, but fairly aligned, kind of just different leadership styles. And we'll go to talk about this with David Benjamin from ACLJ Jerusalem. He's on the line with us now. So they're unofficially tied 32-31, somewhere around there. And if the religious parties were to join the Likud Netanyahu party coalition, that would put him somewhere at 56, but that's still short of 61. So that does not get Netanyahu to the 61 necessary, which makes some of the other political parties, which only got a handful of seats, 9 seats maybe, like Avigdor Lieberman, the former foreign minister of Israel, his Israel Betenu party, which means Israel Our Home, got 9 seats. That could be put him in that kingmaker role. But I want to go right to an Israeli, a reservist in the IDF, and a senior legal member of the ACLJ Jerusalem, David Benjamin. David, great to have you on the broadcast today. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jordan. I think you hit the nail exactly on the head, because you said rightly that actually the vast majority of Israelis have very similar political opinions. In fact, I venture to say something like 70% are probably within a consensus zone between what we would call moderate left and moderate right. And in fact, the politicians, they are quite happy to skip between the parties on the moderate left and the moderate right. And that's probably about 70% of the people. Just that up until now, our political system has not yielded a government that represents that consensus. It's always been a sort of a polarized affair. And of course, the obvious way out of the current crisis would be to form a unity government, which would be reflective of the majority vote. Whether that can happen, it's a bit difficult because, of course, as you correctly said, the issue has become more Netanyahu, the personality, rather than policy. And it's either for Netanyahu or against Netanyahu. So, a scenario of unity government would be far more likely to come about if Netanyahu was not in that unity government. So actually, at the moment, it's really difficult to call which way it's going to go.
Yeah, I mean, a unity government, explain that. We're talking to David Benjamin from ACLJ Jerusalem, reservist in the IDF. One of our senior legal counsels at our office at ACLJ Jerusalem. The idea of a unity government is pretty foreign to Americans because, again, until we changed our constitution, it used to be that if you whoever came in second place the presidential election became vice president. We found that didn't work very well because it was usually someone from a different political persuasion. So we changed the constitution in the U.S. What would a unity government look like, and does Israel have a history of those working?
Well, in American terms, I don't think you can really translate it directly, but it would be basically mean a government consisting of both Republicans and Democrats, wow. Just the Israeli equivalent, which would mean the large parties, which would be the Likud party, representing the more right-wing side, and the blue and white party, which actually I wouldn't call it a left-wing party. It's more of a centrist party. Yeah. And as I say, on most issues of policy, not that different from the mainstream Likud. If those two parties join up together, that would be a unity government. And they might add other partners as well into the coalition. There have been unity governments in the past in Israel, not necessarily long-lived, but that has happened at various junctures in Israeli history.
So right now it appears, David, here's kind of what's interesting, is that Benjamin Netanyahu was like, if he had his usual coalition of Likud plus the religious parties, came up about somewhere 4, 5, maybe 6 votes short. He can't make that up without another partner. And is there anyone else out there other than like Avigdor Lieberman who's saying it has to be a secular unity government that that Netanyahu could go to? I know a lot of Americans, because they're familiar with Netanyahu for a long time. Is there anyone else he could go to try to build this coalition to get to 61?
The answer is there's no immediate answer to that. There's no immediate obvious answer to that. But by the same token, there's no immediate obvious answer to how the Blue and White Party can set up a coalition. They also have pressures from left and right. Yeah. So in other words, it's difficult for everybody. So perhaps the solution is just because, if they don't reach a solution, that they're gonna have to go to elections again for a third time. And hopefully that is something
So again, that was going to be my next question, David. So if Avigdor Lieberman says, I'm not joining you, Netanyahu, even though you've got just almost enough seats, even if you'll give me, another high-ranking position, like he was foreign minister, something like that, we're not going to join. We want this secular unity government. And that's it. Netanyahu can't get to 61. The religious parties don't want to have anything to do with blue and white. They don't really know them. And that, again, would not get them over the line either. So it would be another election. Would Prime Minister Netanyahu remain prime minister and there would be like another election in a few months, or how would that work?
That is a possible scenario. As I say, I think the public would be very upset by that scenario.
I can understand.
But it is a possible scenario because it could come to another deadlock. So hopefully all the sides will realize that actually, none of them are winners here. So they're going to have to find a way to work together somehow. I say it's possible. It's just difficult. If you certainly go on the election campaign promises and the quite polarized stances that were taken during the elections, it doesn't look so possible. But compromise is politics is often about compromise, and I think that's what's going to happen. I think it has to happen. It might actually be a good thing that everyone realizes there's no clear winner. Everyone's going to have to compromise to make things go forward.
Yeah, what's interesting. As well as just kind of how unique this is for us. So I want to actually, David, take a call from one of our listeners who has a question I think you can answer better than I can. And that's Mary in Colorado. Mary, welcome to JSecio Live. Folks, if you've got questions, this is the time to ask on the Israeli election. Give us a call now, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. It's the only true democracy in the Middle East and our number one ally in the Middle East. So it's very important there. When elections occur. Mary, you are on the air with me and David Benjamin.
Hi, Jordan. Hi, Benjamin. I'm just confused. I thought they just had elections a couple of months ago. I remember all this going on, I thought, and that Benjamin Netanyahu was reelected, and then he was now the prime minister again and all this. And so, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, here we're having elections again. I find this very confusing. I don't know. I don't understand it. Why did they have the election before and he was declared a winner and he's the prime minister, and now suddenly here we are a couple months later redoing the whole thing again?
So David, I mean, what really happened was he didn't win. It's that no one got to a coalition. He was the current prime minister, so he remained as prime minister because he could not form a coalition. And there was decisions that could be made. One of those decisions was that you can have another election. That's what Prime Minister Netanyahu decided. But no one gets to like a majority in Israeli politics. So you don't like outright win. You get the number one or number two most seats, and then you have to have the best shot at putting together the 30 more seats you need to form a majority government.
Yeah. Well, theoretically, you could get an outright win. It just doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
You need 61 seats out of 120 in the parliament. And yes, that's exactly the problem. Even if you might have a slightly larger, your party might get more votes, but it doesn't mean you can put together a large enough coalition to actually form the government, to get the 61 majority. And that's what happened last time with Netanyahu. And he could be in the same. We could be in the same position again, unfortunately.
And that again, David, means I just want to clarify for people that if that kind of situation existed, that Prime Minister Netanyahu remains in office until the next election. I mean, is there any kind of other option there other than him remaining in office?
No, that's the default. The default option is by inertia. He would be in the caretaker government until the next election. There is under law, under procedure in Israel, it's the president of the country who is supposed to turn to the person most likely to be able to build the next government. And there's a certain amount of discretion involved there.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the leader of the largest party.
Right.
Sometimes you can have a smaller party, but with a bigger chance of building a bloc. So it's sometimes quite complicated. The default option will be Netanyahu continues until we have a new government.
David, final question for you. We've only got a minute left here. And the final question is this. If you had to predict today, and I know that it's almost impossible, if you had to predict based off the current statements coming out of leaders, by tomorrow, where do you think this will be?
Okay, I think by tomorrow we'll still be deadlocked. I think the negotiations on the coalition are going to take a long time. It's going to take several weeks at least.
Okay.
Logic says there has to be a unity government as a result of this. It really is the only reasonable solution that everyone has to accept. Whether that will actually happen, difficult to say.
Yeah. So the question would be, is there a unity government that comes together, or another election? David Benjamin, we thank you for joining us on the broadcast from our team from ACLJ Jerusalem. We'll be right back taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online Sign up right now, ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. So we just got that update from David Benjamin from ACLJ Jerusalem on the Israel election deadlock. In the second half hour, we're going to go to our friend Johnny Daniels as well, also Israeli, who we've had on the broadcast a number of times to get his take on, so that you're getting kind of as many options as possible from Israelis on their election and what has occurred. So if you continue to have questions about the Israeli election, we're going to get back to that in just the next half hour of the broadcast, so in about 10 minutes from now. So give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And let me just say, for the next Red Wave, which is now going to be released in less than 1 week, it's released September 24th, next Tuesday. You can pre-order now at thenextredwave.com. People were taking action yesterday. They were going to thenextredwave.com. And the book actually got to number one on campaigns and elections in new releases. And it's not out until next Tuesday. So, again, a big thank you for those of you who have already pre-ordered The Next Red Wave. I mean, this was ahead of, ahead of Greg Jarrett's book, Witch Hunt, and some others that have been, again, really big books. And it got that high. It's in the top 10 on political books right now, on the ebook as well. Let me encourage those ebook readers. That is doing very well through whether it's Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And again, this is not about Jordan making more money selling books. This is about getting the books into the hands of more people. I will not be able to sell enough books to make more money off this book. What I'm doing is in promoting this is so that more people read the book. They see it on these lists. They see it come up when they look for books on politics, or they're at the store looking at books on politics, and they make sure, we want them to make sure that they get the right information, right? So if you trust our broadcast and what we do, then you probably want our opinion on partisan politics as well. And this is what this book is. Stuff that we can't get into on radio, stuff that we really can't do as ACLJ, this book does it. It tells you how to organize, how to win, who to vote for, and how to vote for them, and what else you can do, how to take that to the next level, and what it's like to lose, especially after this administration when you compare it and contrast it with the Obama administration. So, again, pre-order your copy of The Next Red Wave today at thenextredwave.com. Has all the options for you to go to. Hardback, ebook, again, those ebooks are selling great. The numbers are great. You can tell just by the listing. So I really encourage you folks, whatever way you prefer, pre-order it. We appreciate it because the more pre-orders come in, the more get published, the more advertising goes out, the more people will find The Next Red Wave. It'll be in more stores, more places, and that's what we want if we actually want victory in November 3rd, 2020. So go to The Next Red Wave. Go to thenextredwave.com, pre-order my book, first book that I've done today. That's thenextredwave.com. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're going to get back to Israel and the deadlocked elections, but we've got something. I want to go to CeCe Howe that we're doing. CeCe, this is international and similar to what happened in New York, even worse to some extent, is what's happened now in New Zealand.
Right. New Zealand, as an attempt to actually modernize their laws, they are basically decriminalizing abortion and allowing it once again up to birth. And so we have an opportunity to engage and submit a public comment. They're allowing any foreign entity or individuals to make comments, so we're encouraging that. We'll file our public comment today, just telling them that, you know, decriminalizing abortion, allowing it up to the child being born, it is wrong. That's a wrong decision.
So again, we are filing comments, but people, Than, on our ACLJ.org, we've set up that database just like we've done for comments in the U.S. New Zealand allows outside international comments. So people can go right now to ACLJ.org. We've got it set up where They can sign our comment, sign on to our comment, but they can also write their own comment. We've got that database set up for them to let their voice be heard as far away as New Zealand. They've got about, I'd say, do it like this. New Zealand is 15 hours ahead of Eastern time, and this closes at the end of the day, New Zealand tomorrow. I don't want to get too complicated, so let's just say this. By close of business today, or if you get home at 8 p.m. Tonight, even on the West Coast, get it done to get your comment in. But then we've got the system set up where they can easily just sign on to our comment, and that's great. Like with the Department of Labor, and we had 70,000 plus people do that. But on that, we also had 4,000 plus people do their own comments, and we've got that database set up and that system set up because of our great donors who allow us to create this kind of technology.
That's right, Jordan. We work really hard to make this really easy for our members to accomplish it. If they go to aclj.org and pull up the blog about this New Zealand law, all of the information that they need is going to be right there. They will be signing at the bottom of that blog our legal comment that we will be putting in. And then there is some, actually, we have drafted some recommended text that people can use if they want, Jordan. They can edit it if they want, but a link for them to file their own comment as well. In fact, Jordan, 184 people from New Zealand have already signed our petition to engage on behalf of the government. Of course, they're asking for comments around the world, and we want to make sure that our members do that. But just quickly, Jordan, so our listeners understand how important this was. This is very similar to what happened in New York, the barbaric law that passed there. And we've talked on this broadcast before how there are only 7 countries in the world that allow late-term abortions. Unfortunately, the United States is one of them. This would be the 8th, Jordan. That's how significant this is. So if New Zealand wants comments from pro-lifers across the world, the ACLJ is going to provide them, again, all of the information in one blog at aclj.org. And members, we've made it very easy for them to sign both ways at that blog.
So it's incredible that people from New Zealand are signing on to the ACLJ's comment. You can write your own comment as well. As Stan said, we've got preset text. You can edit that text. You can clear it all out and write your own comment in. But this, what New Zealand is proposing, would put New Zealand right in line with what New York has done, which not only legalizes and expands late-term abortion, but this actually goes further by removing any conscience protections for medical professionals.
Right, absolutely. So before this, if this law gets passed, a doctor or nurse did not have to perform an abortion. Under this new legislation, proposed legislation, a doctor or nurse would have to. It's a very vague language they use, if it would unreasonably be disruptive to the employer's activities, which we know, we've even seen that in the United States, that a hospital will rely on that, and they can fire these doctors and nurses. They can rehire them or not hire them. So absolutely no conscience protection.
So you could have an objection to just late-term abortion.
Yes.
Not want to do abortion in the 7th month and be fired if you don't do it. So this is what New Zealand is proposing, but they have a public comment period. If New Zealand goes this route, it would be added to the list of only 7 nations in the world that allow abortion after 20 weeks. There's only 7 countries in the world that allow it. The U.S. is one of them. North Korea, China, Vietnam, Singapore, the Netherlands, Canada, and then it would be New Zealand. Now, unfortunately, we're on that list. We're fighting so that the U.S. isn't on that list. But again, CeCe's going to stay with us. If you have calls and questions about this, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Let's keep the next red wave trending up on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, ebook, the hardback, thenextredwave.com. Pre-order the book. It's out next Tuesday. Pre-order today.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. So, we will update you once again on the Israeli election deadlock. We'll be joined by Johnny Daniels in the next segment of the broadcast. But I wanted to continue on just briefly with what's happening in New Zealand, because we have a special opportunity to act here to protect human life. And Cece Howell is still joining us. Cece, let's just explain to people once again, do that pretty quick in the last segment of the first half hour, what is happening in New Zealand right now?
Yeah, New Zealand has a proposed abortion legislation bill that would basically decriminalize abortion in New Zealand. Currently, abortion's only allowed up to 20 weeks and in very limited circumstances where the mother's life or health is in danger in case of serious fetal abnormalities or if the pregnancy is a result of incest. So that's very limited up to 20 weeks and then not allowed at all after 20 weeks unless basically the life of the mother is at risk.
Right.
Now, this bill would totally get rid of all of that. So up until the time of birth, you can have abortion on demand with really no regulations. They try to put in the kind of mental health and well-being of the mother, which we know, again, that means nothing because every doctor can say, oh, well, it was really for her well-being. So up to the time of birth, New Zealand is trying to now make legal abortion.
That would mean that New Zealand would join Canada, China, the Netherlands, North Korea, Singapore, Vietnam, and unfortunately our country, the United States. It's a group of seven countries you don't want to be part of. That would make it the eighth country that allows abortion after 20 weeks. That's it. There's only eight countries in the – that would be only eight countries in the world. Currently only seven. We're one of them in the U.S. But you can do something about this. New Zealand allows for public comments to come from outside of New Zealand. So they encourage comments from the international community. So, Than, tell people how they can take action because we've set it up at ACLJ.org so that they can let their voice be heard all the way in New Zealand.
Yeah, look, as troubled as we are about the fact that New Zealand would consider this kind of legislation, Jordan, I do have to give them credit that they're willing to receive input, and we by all means want to give them that input. They're receiving comments via an online portal. So we at the ACLJ have set up in one blog a one landing spot where our members can go. They can add their name to our comment that we'll be filing. We'll be filing on the merits of the law in a more technical nature, but we've also given some recommended text for our listeners, our members, to submit their own comments. Jordan, they need to hear from people all across the world that are opposed to this, that says New Zealand should not join this infamous list of seven that don't have restrictions on late-term abortion. So just very succinctly, go to ACLJ.org, pull up the blog about this issue, and take two action points. You can use the text there, click on the link, and file your own comments. And at the bottom of that blog, you can add your name to the comments that we will be filing. Jordan, just two quick numbers to give you. Almost 20,000 people have already signed our comment that we'll be filing. That's outstanding. And get this, 184 people from New Zealand have signed our petition that we've launched out of the United States saying that they do not want their government to institute this law. I hope those numbers can be something like 100,000 by the end of the day and hopefully into the thousands inside New Zealand. But go to ACLJ.org, pull up this blog, and take both of those actions. Jordan, just quickly, you know this because you wrote about it. Grassroots activism, it starts at the ballot box, but this is where it finishes. We're going to give them an opportunity to engage in that way.
That's right. I mean, these members of New Zealand's parliament need to know from the world, need to know from their own people that people are opposed to this. You know, we're working in the United States on what New Zealand basically has now, which is the 20-week abortion ban, and having to fight those out in court. It's very difficult. But New Zealand currently has that, and no one is saying they have to change this law. They are doing this proactively through their parliament. It's not courts. It's proactively through parliament. And like we say in the next red wave about the U.S., when you get a right to petition a government, even if it's a foreign government, if you believe this is a situation of life and death, literally, the taking of human life, then you petition that foreign government as well. And you can do so at ACLJ.org. When we get back, you know, let's pray and hope and work hard to make sure New Zealand does not join that list and make it eight countries that allow abortion after 20 weeks and allow late-term abortion. Go to ACLJ.org. Get activated. You have today. That's it to get your comment in. We'll be right back.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, folks, in the book, The Next Red Way, my first book as main author, got two great co-authors, too. All of us have got political experience, worked on political campaigns, worked on Capitol Hill, outside of just our work on at the ACLJ. Two of us served on President Trump's legal team during the Russia probe and the Mueller investigation. So, again, I think it may be the first book out by two members of that team. And it's a book about winning November 3rd, 2020, about how to bring about the next red wave in a time we know that's going to be very divisive politically. The book is out next Tuesday. It is doing very well. People are responding to the pre-order asked from us, and I appreciate that. Let me explain quickly. We ask for pre-orders not so that we can make more money off books. It's not how books work anymore these days. We ask for these pre-orders so that the publisher prints more books because we're grassroots. You know, we're grassroots people. That's what we're all about, and getting people engaged and involved so that the publisher prints more books and it gets into more bookstores and it makes more lists and more people see it and more people hear about it and read about it and there's reviews done about it. And guess what? More people will get the information that I think you would trust, right? This is you listen to our broadcast. So when it comes to politics and partisan politics, you'd want it from a trusted source. Well, it's available for you now. It'll be out next week, and the more we get pre-ordered, the more we'll get out to other people, and that's how you bring about bigger change, get more people involved in grassroots. It's a very grassroots book, and you're really going to enjoy it, folks. The Next Red Wave. Go to thenextredwave.com. Pre-order today. E-books are doing great. I noticed on Amazon the e-books have been doing great, so if that's your preferred way, go for it there on Barnes & Noble with the Nook and the other ebooks that are available, Apple and all of those. And again, the audiobook, the hardback, all of that, folks. Pre-orders are really important, and we encourage you to do that at thenextredwave.com. You'll see all the different places you can go, and so you can choose which retailer to pre-order your copy of The Next Red Wave. Let me go right to Johnny Daniels. Johnny heads fromthedepths.org, which does a lot of great work on remembering those righteous among the nations in Poland, but also in restoring so much Jewish property, even Jewish graves that have been destroyed in Poland. So it's fromthedepths.org, and we've had Johnny on to talk about the organization before, but Johnny also has been very involved in Israeli politics, specifically with the Likud party. And Johnny, I want to get your reaction right away to what happened in this this latest Israeli election?
Well, firstly, thank you for having me back on the show. I'm actually right now on nextredwave.com pre-ordering my book.
Awesome. Appreciate that.
I'll stop that for my pleasure. I can't wait to read it. So I'll put that aside for a second. I'm actually speaking to you from Washington, D.C. at the moment. I'm here for a bunch of meetings, and it was an interesting election in Israel, to say the least.
So what do you think?
What we saw,
go ahead.
Yeah. Look, I mean, what we saw was pretty much of the same that we saw last time, which is a stalemate, which is what we have at the moment. You know, Israel is different to the United States in the way that we have multiple different political parties. And this stems from the broad spectrum of our society, right? You know, in Israel, we have significant groups. So you have groups of ultra-Orthodox Jews, of right-wing Jews, of left-wing Jews, of Israeli Arabs, Palestinians, secular, and everything in between. And what that leaves us with is many different parties. And it never leaves one party with a strong enough group that they're able to come together and build a coalition. And unfortunately, what we saw in the election just yesterday was the Likud party, obviously run by Prime Minister Netanyahu, falling a little bit less than what they need to bring in a right-wing bloc, to bring a bloc together to make a coalition for the next government. However, it also leaves the left-wing bloc unable to make a coalition in terms of what it seems today. And it all really falls around one pivotal player in Israeli politics at the moment, a man called Avigdor Lieberman, who's the head of the Israel Home Party. He really appealed to a sort of right-wing Russian-speaking base of Israelis. Obviously, in the 90s, we had a huge immigration of well over a million Russians into the state of Israel. Israel, as your listeners will know, only has 7 million people in total, so 1 million people is a significant part of the population. And he takes a lot of the older Russian votes. And whilst they are on the right, which would seem a very natural fit to Prime Minister Netanyahu, they also tend to be quite anti-religious. Yeah. And the religious parties are also significant partners inside of the Netanyahu coalition as well, which creates this friction, which is what sort of pushed us from the last elections just 6 months ago into these elections yesterday. And unfortunately, the way that it's playing out now, it looks most likely that we'll have the same stalemate again.
So we're talking to Johnny Daniels. Johnny has worked for the Likud party in the past. Just to make that clear, he's been involved in politics like I have, partisan politics. He's now runs FromTheDepths.org, and I encourage you to check that website out. They do amazing work in Poland, really for recognizing the righteous among us, those non-Jews, Gentiles that helped Jews during the Holocaust, and also preserving Jewish heritage in Poland. Sometimes we're talking about taking over, you know, roads, for instance, that the pavement that was found to actually be made by Jewish gravestones and restoring those graves. So they do excellent work at From the Depths, and it's FromTheDepths.org. But Johnny's also a political expert on Israel. So, John, here's the deal. I mean, so we could have this. Avigdor Lieberman from Israel Beiteinu said it has to be a unity government. It has to be secular, and it has to be a unity government. Do you see Likud or Blue and White actually agreeing to that?
No. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen for many different factors. Obviously, one of the main factors are these slightly ridiculous legal cases that have been placed against Prime Minister Netanyahu. You know, the majority of them have already been sort of pushed away, but there are still some looming. You know, you would have heard about them as well, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, and all the different thousands. These are different cases of corruption. But again, just so we understand what they mean by that, we're not talking about, you know, corruption and collusion like CNN like this been here in the United States.
Right.
We're dealing with very petty, silly issues like, you know, someone gave him a fountain pen. You know, very, very minor, silly issues like that. where most of them have already been proved to be untrue. But with those still looming, the Blue and White Party, the main opposition, the center-left party run by Gantz, wouldn't be willing to sit in a coalition with Likud with Netanyahu as head of the party. So effectively, I think the only way that we'll see one way that a unity government could be formed would be if Netanyahu was to step aside, or there'd be some kind of revolt inside of the Likud party and a new leader would be brought forward from Likud. However, that's most unlikely and something that is highly unlikely to happen. Also, for Blue and White to step in with Likud, it would mean a rotation of prime minister.
Yeah.
And then you have the question of who starts, right. Which, you know, with so many egos, with, you know, the Blue and White party effectively has four heads of their party, three former army generals and Yair Lapid. And in that kind of scenario, it's almost impossible to find a situation where there'd be a rotation of prime minister. So the chances of a unity government are incredibly unlikely. The question now is, you know, whether games are able to be played, and political games,
right.
You know, the kind of house of cards kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So you're going to be looking at other things over the next couple of months where Likud, for example, will be courting individual members of the Blue and White Party, attempting to pull them over. Because when a member moves parties, they bring their seat with them.
Let me stop you right there. So you think, could it be like a, how soon does Israel have to decide, like, there's either going to be a unity government or we're going to have another election? I mean, you said they could even jostle around even for a couple of months behind the scenes before something like that would occur?
Well, easily. What happens is as follows. Within the next, I believe, 3 months, up to 3 months, the individual parties, the parties who received enough votes and passed the threshold and got in to parliament, go forward and sit down with the president of Israel, with Ruvi Rivlin. They come forward and they give their recommendation for who should be able to be the next prime minister, hence giving that one person the opportunity to build a coalition. So
this could go on for 3 months before we know if there's not a unity government, and if Prime Minister Netanyahu can't get to that threshold. He's at probably around 56 with the religious parties to 61. Just quickly, Johnny, it could be 3 months, but Prime Minister Netanyahu would remain prime minister during that period?
Correct.
All right. So again, that's Johnny Daniels from The Depths giving you that insight on the Israeli election deadline.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
So we have talked about the deadlocked Israeli elections. We've had two experts on. We had David Benjamin from our office in ACLJ Jerusalem, Israeli IDF reservist, on with his thoughts on the deadlocked Israeli election. He thought the unity government was the only right way to move forward, but still questioned if that would actually occur. Then we had on Johnny Daniels, who has an organization called From the Depths. That's fromthedepths.org. Go check that organization out. Does great work in Poland, remembering Holocaust victims and also those righteous amongst the nations who were non-Jews who helped Jews escape the Holocaust. And so that's fromthedepths.org. But he also used to work for the Likud party. So, like me, has that partisan politics background. And his opinion was there's not going to be – he can't imagine a unity government and that it could be 3 months and ultimately everybody coming together and recommending to the president, all the parties kind of recommending who they think should have the chance at being to build a coalition. So pretty complicated situation right now in Israel, and you could even have another election. And that's because, again, no one got to a majority, which everyone knew that would be the case by their party, but no one got to their normal coalitions didn't get to the 61 majority either. Prime Minister Netanyahu, where you look at where he is, he's somewhere his party was in first or second place by maybe one or one seat. But he has a larger group that would certainly join him. The religious groups get him to 56 probably, but that's five seats short of the 61 you need out of the 120 Knesset seats to be the majority government. And so there'd have to be a lot of wrangling, as Johnny said, to going on, and it will be. But I don't think that we're going to know tomorrow something very different. I actually would be shocked if we know by the end of the week that this has been settled. But while this goes on, Prime Minister Netanyahu remains prime minister. Our relationship with Israel continues in the U.S. The work we do with Israel, the military and intelligence work, that goes on. It's a democracy like America, and it can survive this easily, no problem. It's just kind of a pain for the people there. We've had these election delays before in our country, and they kind of have a system that sets it up to even be more likely than we do here in the United States. We then talked about take action on New Zealand. New Zealand is a country that has a 20-week abortion ban, but right now their parliament is considering the similar law to what we have here, which is basically elective abortions. And then states that allow abortion up until birth, like New York. That would mean that New Zealand would join only seven other countries that allow abortion in the final trimester of pregnancy. The U.S. is one of those seven. New Zealand would become the eighth country in the world. They're asking for public comments. And as we say in the next red wave, you have that right to redress of grievances, to petition governments. Even when a foreign government says, we want to hear from the world, we've built a system to do that, and thousands of people have already signed on at aclj.org to our comment, but we also have that process set up. People from New Zealand, almost 200 people from New Zealand have signed on to the ACLJ's comment, but we also have the system set up where you can also put your own comment in on this important issue. Again, that's at aclj.org. You only have, I'd say, until the end of today. It closes out tomorrow, New Zealand time. So just say in your mind, end of today, before 9 p.m., wherever you are in the country, get that comment in or sign on at aclj.org. Let's make sure New Zealand hope and pray that New Zealand does not become the eighth country that we're unfortunately on that list of seven in the United States. I do want to talk too. We cannot miss this. The president tweeted this morning, bring in Andy First, Andy Economou, and Harry Hutchinson, that there will be an increase in sanctions on Iran following their attack on the Saudi oil facilities.
Right. The president said that he had directed Secretary of the Treasury Mnuchin, quote, to substantially increase U.S. sanctions on Iran following the attack on the oil facilities in Saudi Arabia, and he wanted to increase what we have already in place, which is, as crippling economic sanctions. But the thing is that he did not specify exactly what those sanctions were and what he wanted the Treasury Secretary to do to increase them. It may be more of the economic penalties that have already been imposed. It may be trying to get the European countries who do business with Iran to increase their economic pressure on the Iranians. But he is obviously not committed to a military course. Not that he's not prepared to do that. He said he was locked and loaded to do that. But I think the president is trying to employ every means short of military action to make the Iranians stop the actions that they're taking with respect to the Saudis and others. I think it's pretty clear now, Jordan, that these missile strikes did originate in Iran. It's useless for the Iranians to claim that they did not. The president is now on record as saying, I'm not going to do anything militarily at the moment, but I want to increase substantially the sanctions that have already been imposed, and that's what he has directed the secretary to do. We don't know what those are. He didn't specify what those are. He's probably going to leave that to the discretion of Secretary Mnuchin, and we'll see what comes out of those in the next few days.
Harry, economic sanctions, of course, have been crippling Iran. We know that these sanctions, whether it's on their oil industry or being able to even do business with the world and banking with the world, has made it, you know, Iran's kind of run out of money that the Obama administration gave them by pulling out of the Iranian nuclear deal, which we talk about in my new book, which comes out next week, The Next Red Wave. Also crippled Iran's ability to do business, not just with the U.S., but then with the major economic powers in the world. So increase in sanctions could mean that Iran continues provocative actions to a point. But what we did hear from reports is that the president is still considering military options, just options, I think that most Americans agree with this, options that will not lead to full-scale war.
I think that's correct. I think it's important from a background perspective to note that we have already imposed massive sanctions on Iranian shipping. Oil revenues have cratered. They're down dramatically, probably more than 60 or 70%. Iran has difficulty accessing the international banking system. There is unrest in the streets of Iran. Unemployment approaches 20%. We've imposed sanctions on the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, on Hezbollah, and other entities that have a relationship with Iran. And I think the additional sanctions that are being contemplated will continue to place pressure on the Iranian regime. But I also think it may be necessary going forward for the Saudis to impose some type of surgical strike on Iran as well.
Folks, we're going to keep you updated on all of this. I mean, the Iranian issue is one to watch closely all week in light of the intelligence, both U.S. and Saudi intelligence pointing to the attack emanating from Iran on those Saudi oil facilities. So again, the president has said we're going to increase sanctions, and he's considering military options as we speak. We updated you on the Israeli election deadlock. We're going to keep following that and keep updating you on that. We've got an office in Jerusalem because of your support to the ACLJ. We're able to have that office, and we got that great report from our team members on the election there. Go to ACLJ.org, get involved with New Zealand, and don't forget the next red wave.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, ACLJ.